This is the BBC.
Hello, welcome to Tweet of the Week. My name's Gary Moore and I'm a wildlife sound recordist. This week you're going to hear my stories as I attempt to record five of my favourite birds. As a wildlife sound recordist, I was given the opportunity to go and record a golden pheasant. Now, as far as we know, a golden pheasant had never been recorded in the UK. And they live in a small Forestry Commission piece of land on the outskirts of Thetford. Nobody knows how many there are. They were so rarely seen. So I knew the location. I knew I had to be up at 4 a.m, so I chose a lay-by on the edge of the woods just outside Thetford where I knew they were. And basically got dressed and went down to the edge of the woodland and just waited to see if I could hear these golden pheasants. I worked my way round into the thicket and eventually I found myself on all fours crawling under the brush of this pine stand. And sure enough, there was this strange, scratchy, single call. And I knew then, I knew what it was. And I got some really good recordings. I was happy with them. I knew I was close. And then there was one point in the forest where just a single shaft of light was coming through the trees and it was illuminating a fallen tree. And do you know what? The male pheasant sat on that log in that patch. And when the bird turned its neck and the sun hit that, just that iridescent sheen of gold on its neck, I'm going to be honest, it was a bit spiritual. It was like a godlight. It was just amazing. To be on Skomer the last week of April, the first week of May, is in Britain's top five birding experiences that shadow of a doubt. The reason you want to be there in those 2 weeks is really for the Manx shearwater. And you can hear them underground, the males calling from the burrows and the females coming in. And I've been there before when a Manx shearwater literally thacked me straight into the chest. But there's another side to it in the autumn, and that's when the chicks fledge. They come to the end of the burrow, and basically they launch themselves for the very first time out to sea. Now, this bird lived all its life in a dark hole, and then suddenly it comes to the edge one night, and it's desperate to go. And so they're looking for height. They're looking for places where they can get a little bit of height to take that first takeoff. And so when you sit amongst the burrows of Manx shearwater chicks, they climb on you. They've got no fear of humans, never seen a human. And so you orientate yourself, so you're sitting looking out to sea, and you've got this Manx shearwater on your head, and suddenly it'll have a go. If it's not got the quiet breeze, it'll just fall into your lap, it'll crash and like a sack of feathers into your lap, and then sure enough it'll crawl around, it'll have another go. Up it goes again, use its beak and its really sharp claws climbing up your shoulder and onto your head. And then eventually it'll go. It'll just take off and it'll get the wind and it'll go. And that'll be it. And that bird will go all the way down to South America. On the 1st of July 2016, I was fortunate enough to go to the Somme battlefield to celebrate the centenary of the first day of the Battle of the Somme. I went to a place called Loch na Garr Crater, and it was one of the string of seven mines that they exploded that morning at about 7:28, and then the men were due to go over at 7:30. So I stood there almost 100 years to the day, thinking about those men that morning. And when I stood there, the fields were full of oilseed rape and there were some margins where a few birds were nesting, and it was a skylark. As I stood there and looked around me, I knew that things had changed. But the real link that I felt with myself and those men 100 years ago is the fact that that skylark sang exactly the same to them as it did to me. They heard it no different to the way I was. I think that was something they held on to, something that reminded them of home, something that took them out of all that horror. We can't imagine now the horror of that. But I think, listen to that bird song, like bird song does for us now, you know, we can, whatever we do, if we hear it, it just takes us to another place, you know. I'd gone to an area of land where we know the stone curlews were, farmland that had been prepared, not necessarily for stone curlew, but for shooting. But the byproducts of the preparation of this land was that stone curlews liked it. So I drove my van along the edge of the field, sat down in it, slid the side door open. It was quite a cold night, not particularly a great spring night, and I sat there with the door open, and eventually it got dark. Now, I know that stone curlew fly and call at night. Didn't see a single stone curlew all afternoon, so I had no idea if they were there. And then, sure enough, out of the darkness towards me was the call of the stone curlew drifting across this field. So I quickly jumped out of the van, got my parabolic, got my kit on, and I couldn't go into the field because there was a fence, there was a barbed wire fence. So I just went up to the edge of the barbed wire fence, and sure enough, well, my eyes closed, and just with my parabolic reflector, I tracked the bird across the sky. So the bird really only called on and off for about 20 minutes, half an hour. I didn't have long, but I just happened to pick probably the right place at the right time in the pitch dark, and I recorded a bird that I never saw. But because we live in a country that's got so much noise pollution, I really love birds that call at night. For me, it's just a pinnacle, because I know I've got virtually zero background noise, and with a little bit of field craft, you can get right close to that bird, and I can get crystal clear, clean recordings. Three years ago, Springwatch decided to go to Minsmere. Now, Minsmere, if you're into birds, it's a bit of a birding mecca. It's a bit like Disneyland for birders, basically, because you've got such fantastic species there. And they said, oh yeah, up on Western Heath there's woodlark, and you can hear them at night. And when you read the literature, they say the bird leaves a perch, calls, displays and goes back to the perch. Now, in the pitch dark, I got my kit, I wandered onto Western Heath. Sure enough, I can hear this bird. But it's not going from a perch and going back to the perch. It's doing like a 360. I can hear it going round and going behind me. I'm thinking, is this another bird behind me? Are these two birds competing for a mate? What's going on here? So I did some stunning recordings. I closed my eyes. In fact, at one point, I laid in the wet grass. And I just had my parabolic above me, and I was just tracking the bird purely through sound, just listening to it go round and round and round, round my head like that. And then the next day I went back to the office. I said, look, I've got some great recordings of woodlark. Why don't we get the Selex, the nighttime camera? Let's see if we can film these birds doing what I think they're not meant to be doing, this thing. And sure enough, it was doing, just as we said. It was going around and around and around and flying. Now, people bang on about the skylark being this bird that can sing and can display for a long time. I'm going to tell you, the woodlark's up there with it. Thanks for listening to Tweet of the Week, made by the BBC at Bristol.
This is the BBC.